You're listening to Indie Nation's Tech Night Wednesday, Tech News, Tech Talk, Internet Relay, Chat, Voice over Internet Protocol, and other acronyms we don't understand, with your host, Jeff Norris, Indie Nation's Tech Director, and Lummy the Cyber Junkie, coming to Cyber Live every Wednesday evening on IndieNation.fm. Tech Talk, Chat, Voice, and much, much more.
That's all you get.
And, well, you know, I'm going to toss it over to our DJ Steve here, who can tell us a little bit more about the band we just played.
Okay, well, to add a little more to what we were talking about earlier, they are a four-member group. They just acquired a drummer, which in the early 90s, when the band had originally formed, they did not have a conventional drummer. They used a drum machine, and this addition of what I call the human element is made a huge difference in their sound. And then their guitar player, Susan, very, very good. Very simple. She's got a very simple style to her. And that's one of the highlights of the band. You know, I think when they formed, it was the beginning of that trend where you had a band that had a female in it, and the face of that female attracted you to them. And it's very, very much the case here. She's a very good-looking lady, and, you know, she's the guitar player. You know, the band is not Lestat without her, you know. Very integral part of the sound there. And I'm very interested to see what the new album is going to be like, because you have this continuation, you know, with the same kind of a sound that they have, but it's evolved and it's updated, and you get the sense of it, at least from the tracks I've heard live. And they'll be playing some new stuff in the very short near future here. And but you know, there's, if you have any questions, you can always look them up on Facebook. Just type in Lestat, L-E-S-T-A-T, and it'll pull up their Facebook page, and you can friend them there and, you know, ask them questions. They'll be happy to answer any questions you might have about them. And, you know, let them know that you heard about them on IndieNation.fm.
Yes, and, you know, on with the gremlins. It's always seems to accompany me a little bit. Yes, I did just smack the mic stand accidentally. Jeff, it sounds like you're picking up a CB or a scanner somehow. I know you're loving that Windows Vista and Windows 7 sound mix, but...
Breaker 1-9, this is Dirty Dog.
It sounded like I was going down I-80 in a big rig, okay?
Yeah. This right here?
Yes, it's a scanner.
It's a stream, actually, off of scanner radio.
Mm-hmm.
Utah Highway Patrol, but let me kill it.
Oh, wait, that sounds interesting. What are they talking about? What's happening? Is there a high-speed chase on a Utah freeway over there?
How can there be a high-speed chase in Utah? There's no speed limits.
That's why I asked what county you're in, because I pulled up your EMS dispatch stream.
What is that, scanner.com?
It's actually on my phone.
But is there a website equivalent?
RadioReference.com.
I'm going to have to check that out, because one of the things I actually do listen to all day at work is Cleveland.com has the Cleveland Police Scanner. And you hear some interesting things over it. I heard just a couple weeks ago, and I think we talked about it on the air once, but it's worth a mention again. I overheard on dispatch, I heard a cop say something kind of like, "Radio, we've entered the house, we're in the basement, we have contraband and livestock. We can take the contraband. We need somebody to come out here and pick up these goats."
And then over the air he heard, "Lumpy, Lumpy."
No, I don't think.
"We're being abused, Lumpy."
I don't know if I even want to go there. Why don't we're going to play some Jamie Gray, who I know is out there at least listening to my tweets, because he shot me a tweet thanking us that we were announcing he was going to be up soon. But we did also want to get to some news. I think the first one I'm going to just jump right on is the story of a young man named Jacob Barnett. Now, I had mentioned that I'm a geek. This kid tests out with an IQ of 170. He's 12 years old. He's attending Purdue. Actually, he's just about done with Purdue. He's going to get paid to be an astrophysicist research pretty soon. Now, I'm looking at an article over at the Daily Mail UK, and I'm going to quote from it directly. The boy who taught himself calculus, algebra, geometry, and trigonometry in a week is now tutoring fellow classmates after hours. And that's pretty cool, and that's pretty interesting. But what's even more fascinating, and I guess, you know, he started solving 5,000-piece puzzles at, like, age 3 and doing trigonometry drawings and geometric shape drawings at that age. And he's honed his skills and kind of, they also say he's slightly autistic.
I'm going to say and, he's autistic.
No, he's slightly autistic. It's a mild type
even
of
autism. Even if it's slightly autistic, he's still autistic. That's but amazing, dude.
Here's the most amazing part.
He's autistic.
But the most amazing part is he recently decided he would tackle the general theory of relativity. And the people at Purdue that, you know, he scribbled this out for, they sent it off to Princeton, you know, Einstein's alma mater and where all these top-level PhDs are at. And the PhDs, make a long story short, are more or less, well, we're going to look this over again, but ladies and gentlemen, a 12-year-old genius may have actually expanded Einstein's theory of general relativity. And I wouldn't understand enough about it, you know, to explain it to you or whatever, but I'm sure if the PhDs at Princeton are giving it a second look over, there's something to it. And the other thing that I thought was fairly fascinating and interesting for those of you who have seen A Brilliant Mind, where does he scribble his notes? On a window. I don't know. What do you think of that, guys?
Well, I think that's like a screen or like a he's using like dry erase.
Yeah, it's a window. If I turned on the video, you would see it, but I don't want to turn on the video because it'll kill our bandwidth and whatnot. But it is actually a window. I watched this video. He's scribbling on a window. Those are houses outside in snow. See.
Right, I see that now. I see that.
Yeah, it's just
and
that.
The scary thing from our aspect, not understanding how he thinks, is if you write on glass and you look on it on the opposing side, it's backwards, right?
Yes.
This kid can read this stuff backwards.
And what's he doing after he's tutoring all his classmates at Purdue?
Tutoring the classmates at Purdue. And he's 12 years old?
I think it's amazing.
Like beyond Doogie Howser. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't even think Stephen Hawking is that far advanced.
I don't think Stephen Hawking was going to a university at that age. Maybe he was, and I don't know, but I mean,
I want to say he was in college, and he dropped out. If I remember right.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean,
if you're a Criminal Minds buff like I am, that Dr. Spencer Reed that's on there, he's one of these type. You know, he was like a genius at
numerology freak.
Very young age. He has an eidetic memory. Could, like, read, like, just, like, scan a book page, and he has it retained in seconds.
Hey, Jeff, have you done any peer-to-peer lately?
I do peer-to-peer all the time.
Yeah, so do I. Let's explain what peer-to-peer is real quickly.
Well, we are talking over TeamSpeak, which is a voice over IP solution. So John in Cleveland can talk to me in Salt Lake City area and do the show. That in itself is peer-to-peer, but oftentimes peer-to-peer and the word torrent especially becomes an oxymoron word like the word hacker, because I'm not going to spend too much time on the word hacker, but to me, a hacker is companies like Apple, Dell, Microsoft. But kids and uneducated people seem to think that, oh, hackers is evil, bad thing. Well, torrent and peer-to-peer isn't, because it's a way to distribute media and content. And we played a band last week that's how they distributed their second album.
Exactly. And the reason I was bringing that up, according
to... We'd be talking about Sick of Sarah, right?
Oh, yeah. Sick of Sarah is a great band. But the reason I brought up the peer-to-peer question was for you to briefly explain it to the listeners. You know, piracy, according to the industry, it's destroying the music business, isn't it? And the movie business. It's just horrible. But according to this article over at Ars Technica, and it was last updated 7 days ago, 9%, less than 9% of the United States are peer-to-peer pirates.
That's not a really big number. I don't think that's really significant.
And I didn't read all the source data. Because, you know, that's another thing.
If you think about this, John, does it hurt Hollywood if, at least in the U.S., most movies that are released on DVD or Blu-ray come out on Tuesday for some odd reason? And new movies hit the theater typically on a Friday. So if I downloaded a movie that was released, say, last Friday, and I downloaded it on my computer, am I hurting Hollywood? The hell I sure am. And I talked about this on one of my shows on my site, because I have a friend that's a movie producer and director, and the executive producer was also in the movie. So from their standpoint, when you're bootlegging a movie, you definitely are hurting their livelihood, their jobs, their families. But 9%, that sounds a little low. Maybe that's 9% that admit to it. Because it's not just movies. There's software. There's applications on your iPhone or your smartphone that do have a charge associated with them, and people have figured out how to get around it and stick it out on the peer-to-peer. More accurately, the torrent sites, because torrent is just one part of peer-to-peer.
Well, you know, I can't remember the source on it. Forgive me. Jeff and Steve both know that I am a real news geek. I have about 1,500 news feeds. Steve will attest to the fact that right now I have 3 screens of starred items that we could go to at any instant for news. But on another source, along the same lines, peer-to-peer, you know, they're talking about the stuff that's damaging the movie industry. It's not the peer-to-peer sharing the movies. Who in the studio leaked it out first? Or, like, was it Nine Inch Nails? I think they dropped all the little USB drives off on one of their tour. And then that got out onto stuff. At the time, I think LimeWire was still it, and they were going after the users. But they put a blank thumb drive out with the band logos. And it may not have been Nine Inch Nails, but it was some band. And they like, what they would do is at the shows, they would drop them in the restrooms, drop them around different tables so that the fans would pick them up, and they had pre-release tracks and they had no terms of service or anything on the thumb drive, and then they were upset that they ended up out on the torrents.
Well, but then it's good and it's bad though, because they, even it's
hi Rachel,
any publicity is good publicity.
Hey Jeff, you're getting a phone call for Rachel and Steven right now. And you can't comment back because I did turn your slider down. Let's see if you're still. Yeah, you're.
Don't
yep.
worry about me.
You're picking up something. I don't know what's going on with your Windows Vista machine there, Jeff, but you're definitely having some virtual.
Does somebody
audio.
Want to talk to me?
You know, yeah. Somebody called. Yeah, somebody was calling for Steven, but they got Utah. Look, if you want to get a hold of us on the phone, we're not taking calls live on the air right now, but the Indie Nation voicemail number is 818-81-IND. Jeff, did you get your Windows 7 machine smacked in the right place?
Earth? I'm not taking a phone call, so you actually heard something about a phone call, because I don't hear it.
It was like, hey, Katie, this is Steven, and as soon as I turned your slider down, it was gone. I'm telling you, all night tonight, I know you think I'm like burning off some of that stuff I did maybe in the late 60s, but no, I'm serious. We keep hearing commercials on your end every once in a while.
It very well could be TeamSpeak too.
Wow, I wonder where TeamSpeak would be pulling it from. It's really strange, and it.
So I'm listening to every piece of audio that I'm sending you, including listening to our stream that's got about a 90-second delay on it.
Oh, and Cletta sent us a prank call, but Cletta heard it too, so it's not the voices in my head tonight. The voices in my head are real quiet tonight, and they're telling me you're crazy tonight, Jeff, not me. And Cletta said it sounded like a phone call. I honestly thought you were getting a phone call, Jeff. Regardless, I'm going to go on to another news item, which I think is pretty cool. Plastic Pepsi bottles from plants. Yes, it's true. It looks like a pop bottle, feels like a pop bottle, but it is made from vegetable matter. According to an article at physorg.com, and I'm going to quote, the bottle is made from switchgrass, pine bark, corn husk, and other materials. Ultimately, Pepsi plans to also use orange peel, oat hulls, potato scraps, and other leftovers from its food business. The new bottle looks, feels, and protects the drink exactly in the same manner as current bottles, and it's indistinguishable, according to the article. The article also said that Coke is several years from it, and that both the new bottles and the old bottles are 100% recyclable. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. But again, like I said the last time we were discussing this, I think glass is still pretty recyclable. And I like the glass.
I'd rather have glass, too.
You know what's scary, though, John, is our recycling in Utah. You can voluntarily do it in smaller counties like where I live. But in Salt Lake County, it's mandatory now. Paper, plastic, metal, no glass. You will get fined if you put glass in your recyclables.
Well, I mean, you, over here in Ohio, you have, or I don't know if you still do now, but I know you used to be able to take your glass bottles and drop them off at the grocery store, and then they would haul them off to a recycler.
No, there's no, I don't think there's any more of that.
There was one in the flats.
Around here. It's actually fairly tough to even find a glass beverage bottle.
They're around, I mean, sporadically.
I mean, you see the smaller bottles of Coke traditionally come out at Christmas.
Right.
In glass.
Yes.
And then they disappear. I did pick up, just within the past year, a couple, a six-pack of small glass Coke bottles. I think there was some type of special sellout deal because one side was English and the other side was, like, Spanish.
Bilingual.
The bilingual. Politically correct Coke bottles.
Hey, I have something news related, kind of. Everybody on the Geek Shed chat, where our chat room's located, knows I'm always joking about bacon. For some reason, geeky stuff and bacon kind of goes hand in hand.
That's because you want bacon in your inbox, but not spam.
Eat more bacon. I love bacon.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny. White list as opposed to blacklist is like saying spam to ham, or in this case, bacon. Denny's restaurants have started the whole unhealthy movement, like they weren't unhealthy already, with several menu items for their Baconella, a celebration of bacon. Seven different items on the menu, including a maple bacon sundae. And I'm a fan of bacon, but you know what? That thing looks gross. Chocolate bacon, sure, that's good stuff. Bacon on my hot dogs, great.
Bacon
on my ice cream, I'm not too sure.
I don't know about you and Denny's. I'm not a big Denny's fan at all. And to be frank and honest, I go to Denny's and I order an omelet because, I mean, it's pretty hard to screw up an omelet. And I don't think I've ever had anything other than, you know how they got that wild, crazy omelet with everything in it? It's the only thing I think, right, I've ever had in Denny's in 15 years.
See, when I was a young lad, I used to put salt on my ice cream. I wonder if putting bacon on your ice cream is anything like that. And I don't know why. I mean, I'm on, you know, probably not even older than 5 years old. I'm putting salt on my chocolate ice cream. I don't know why. Because I stopped doing it at one point and obviously never did it again. But, you know, I couldn't imagine putting bacon on your ice cream sundae.
I think what they need next is some obese spokesman to die. What was that burger place that did that? Heart Attack Grill?
It's based out of Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's good news on the fast food front, though.
Dumb question. You have been recording this, right?
Yes.
Okay, because, you know, the gremlins.
Well, I'm not, you know what? Because of the gremlins, I'm not even recording it in TeamSpeak. I'm recording it on the H2 Zoom, the portable recording unit I have. And immediately after we get off the air tonight, I will take everything off the Zoom and put it on the hard drive because it's something Steve and I are taking out to Painesville tomorrow. A couple people in chat over there at Geek Shed IRC Network, one of the best IRC networks out there, over there in Pound Indy Nation, they were asking me if, there comes another commercial on your end, Jeff. They were asking me if...
That was you.
Oh, ringing back. But they were asking me if I was going to a gig in Painesville Friday to play. I haven't played in a gig. 1999-2000 was the last time I was actually in a band playing out. So I don't think I'm going to be quite ambitious enough to hop on the open mic out there. It is pretty much a semi-invite-only open mic night out at a really cool place. It's the Writers Inn in Painesville. It's on Menor Avenue. Yeah, it's Menor Avenue out there. I always confuse whether it's Menor or Euclid Avenue because we change it like every 50 feet. And it's the Writers Inn in its own right is really cool. It's a bed and breakfast. It's a really old, old established inn. It was actually part of the Underground Railroad in here. That's part of the in this area back in the Civil War. It's part of its history. And they have a full restaurant, you know, like a banquet room, real formal restaurant. They have a tavern, and they have some of the really coolest bed and breakfast rooms you've ever seen. If you ever want to go anywhere, you know, for a getaway, romantic getaway, and you're in the Painesville area, I recommend it. We're going to go be seeing Mark Kindler, who has played in the past with Public Library, which is a band that is no more, and he's also the rhythm guitarist in the current Joe's Garage, and we'll be recording some of his stuff, and we'll get more of it on the air like we did Uncle Walt a little bit earlier today. But, yeah, the H2 Zoom, that's just a great portable recording device, in my opinion, and I bought it a few years ago, and guess what? There's even better stuff out now. Jeff, are you still with me?
Yep, and what you were hearing was me playing back your audio while I'm... My poached fish. Oh, my goodness.
Your poached fish. Hey, dosed with mercury and pesticide, right?
Yeah, that's where your comment came from earlier. Thank you very much. Check this out. I don't want to say the fad of the iPhone, because it's been around long enough that's no longer a fad, and it's pretty much mainstream for portable media. But not only your computer, your laptop, your smartphone, iPhone, whatever choice you've made, I'm not really a fan of one product over another, but Amazon this week became the first internet company to offer what they want to call as cloud music. And the cloud, in all technical aspects, is exactly what we're doing for our station, or our website, that everybody else is doing. But when you talk cloud services like Amazon, they can create a service for you on the internet that might be spread across multiple states, multiple data centers, and they only charge you for the bandwidth for the viewer or the listener, not the bandwidth that keeps everything in sync. So compete with iTunes rather than saying, hey, we're going to have a marketplace where you download the MP3s. They're now offering the ability for you to stream exactly what we're doing on Indie Nation FM for free. Amazon wants to set up a service and has a service established where you can take your media device that's connected to the internet and listen to your library. So you don't have to have the library on your computer or on your laptop or sync it with your iPhone or sync it with your Zoom or sync it with your generic MP3 player. So all you have is the player software on the device and you stream your library. I can see that being good and bad. The bad part is ISPs are capping bandwidth, which means the telephone providers are capping bandwidth. And that really means that after so much data is transferred, your internet's going to be cut off, slowed down, or you're going to have other issues. That doesn't work too well when you have cloud type of services. The other thing, too, is when I'm on my phone and I'm talking and I'm driving, and heaven forbid I actually am driving, because it's in most states it's not legal to be on your phone and it's not safe. But the phone technology switches so fast that most of the time you don't notice that you've changed towers. But with data, it has to switch it and change the data. So you're going to hear a hitch on your music. It's going to buffer, click, stutter, lag, whatever you want to call it. I hope this is successful, but the things on the internet need to change. And that's the bandwidth cap and the technology that we have that goes from cell phone tower to the backbone of the internet, which isn't wireless, it's wired, and let's geek it up. I mean, that means you can take Indie Nation on the road, which you already can, by the way. There's several free applications that will stream IndieNation.fm, and in our post for tonight's show, I will include links to the software that you can install on your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod, your Droid-based device, or even your computer. BlackBerry, I don't have a BlackBerry to test, but I know there's applications out there that would stream as well. And this is all provided that you have a data plan with your provider or you're on a Wi-Fi connection where you have a bandwidth that allows you to do that. So, Steve and Lumpy, I hope you're still there with me. What are your comments on something like this, where rather than maintaining a library, you have it hosted on the cloud?
I would never do it. I might host, you know, I don't know, maybe for storage, but like, you know, right now streaming live, I might be brave enough to take the files I'm going to stream live off of the local network, because I know that that's on my side of the router, and I'm going to, even if the internet connection goes down, I can still use my LAN, right? But, you know, I'm not going to trust I mean, look at the gremlins we have right now. I mean, God forbid if I had to deal with five different computers in five different locations. And the other thing I'll say about the cloud service is I don't recommend getting rid of your landline and being cell phone only, which most of America has already done.
That's what I did with my small business, my monument shop. I did away with my landline.
The same way. I have two landlines, one for my office and one for the house. My wife and I have cell phones. My teenage kids have cell phones. And we have the internet. We have Skype. We have Google Talk. But it's funny, with all that, there are some days it is impossible to get a hold of me, or it's impossible to get a hold of family.
Mm-hmm.
Because life is so random, and trying to live that type of lifestyle where you can be disconnected from technology. Oh, you know what? I'd like to listen to some ambient music, and I'm away from home, and I don't have my laptop with me, but I have my phone that has internet. I got to go through the library. Oh, gosh, my signal is horrible. I'm in an area that's congested. That's not to blame Amazon. That's to blame the technology that, quote unquote, is the cloud. It is going to get better, but I also could see the consumer like myself getting the short end of the stick, because you have caps in place from an IP and you have cap provider. They can be opportunistic and say, oh, we'll upcharge you to stream music off of iTunes or stream music off of Amazon's cloud. Or, oh, we'll charge you more if you have Google installed on your phone and you're using Google Talk or Google Voice. Oh, we're going to charge you more for this, more for this, more for this. And see, they see this opportunity when the entire time my phone gives a rat's ass. It's freaking data, whether it's music, voice, or Angry Birds. It's data coming from the internet. And that rant was brought to you by Bacon.
And, you know, I have a couple other things to say on it, though.
Go for it.
In the cloud's defense, look at how often we use cloud-like services with Google Docs, desktop sharing we were doing the other night to, you know, show each other some tips on Audacity. So, yeah, there are definitely some good perks for it in terms of collaboration and convenience. But again, I still want my landline. By landline, I mean I want my computer wired, ideally, wired right in if I can, not wireless. And I still like having a physical hardline phone, because we have something called the Public Utilities Commission. If you have problems with your service or your billing, you have a governmental agency you can invoke for support and your rights to have communication, at least a 911 line. Now, you got this law that even if your cell phone's turned off, you could still get your 911. That's fine. But you do not have any Public Utility Commission rights with a cell phone or a wireless, because it's considered a luxury item.
Yeah, but what if your rights immediately die if your cell phone dies? I mean, how are you going to be able to dial 911 even if the battery's dead?
Scream real loud.
Really?
Here's one thing with that, too, is even with all the technology, when there is a power outage that hits a city and affects millions of potential customers, if you pick up a landline, chances are that phone will deliver a dial tone and you can still place and receive phone calls. I mean, notwithstanding earthquake or fires that destroy the actual phone lines, whether above ground or underground, but the plain old telephone system, which just call it POTS, it is antiquated, it is old, but cities, states, counties, and personal donations by the billions have dumped into this infrastructure to keep it running. So when you pick up the phone and get a dial tone, it's actually not being powered from, say, a generator. It's being powered by a big bank of batteries that have a generator or have the city power connected to it.
That recharge them, yes.
So can you imagine your internet never goes down, the power goes out, and you have a laptop with Wi-Fi, and you have internet until your battery dies?
I have...
It doesn't happen here. When my internet, when the power goes out here, I lose my internet, but I don't lose the phone, and I'm certainly not desperate enough to go back to dial-up for a couple of hours, if that's how long the power's out.
But historically and strategically, I was going to ask both of your opinion on this, and then we'll try and get back onto some music and stuff. I got one more kind of like little tidbit story that's cute, and I'm going to share a link in chat. But the phone companies rather did this to themselves, because we have this situation when we broadcast, quality versus reliability. Yeah, the phone lines are very reliable, but you remember the long distance wars in the 80s? And right. what they did is they're like, how can we get as many phone calls through the same pipe? Oh, let's lower the audio quality. Let's compress it as much as we can and get it. What is the bare minimum audio quality we need for you to understand a conversation? And that's what we're going to give you. And that's the route the phone companies went. So I can accept the argument that TeamSpeak, which is what we're using right now, is actually better audio quality than a phone line. So do you think they might have shot themselves in the foot and done it to themselves? Because right now, everybody wants more bandwidth.
Yeah, FYI, it's 8 kilohertz is how much bandwidth they've given for voice, which is nothing. Can you imagine transferring over the internet at that speed?
We would hate it. Are you done eating, Jeff?
Yet, you know, the funny thing is we're using those same antiquated phone lines and putting like DSL, digital subscriber loop, on top of copper lines and antiquated lines, and actually pushing out more digital bandwidth than the lines were originally designed to do. And that does introduce some problems depending on where.
Yeah, that was the first time I've ever heard DSL said what it stood for. I've never known that. Either something new every day. That's like PDA. A lot of people don't know what PDA stands for.
But the whole point being is trying to disconnect yourself, so to speak, and go cloud works for a lot of things, but not necessarily giving you the control, because now my music library.
It sounds like you're getting naked. I'm going cloud.
I'm going cloud, yes. Okay, little.
Yeah, I'm going to go into the cloud, and I'm going to have a third party maintain my playlist. So, okay, I have to buy all this music. It's on the cloud. What happens if I can't get to the music and I paid for it? Well, if I had the MP3 file or MP4 or whatever it is here at home and I can't get to my computer, that's my fault, but I didn't lose the file. Oh, you got to repurchase it, and it's going to be a freebie, you know, but you still have to have the time to go get it. I'm a little reluctant just because of the maturity of the cloud and also because of ISPs and phone providers, what they're doing right now, and especially up in Canada, it's ridiculous that there's ISPs hard blocking people at 50 gig.
Yeah, if you run out of bandwidth, how do you, and you're only a VoIP phone, like Skype was trying to sell a few years back, if you're out of bandwidth, how would you dial 911? Furthermore, a lot of VoIP phones can't dial 911, like you said, without a third party intervening, because it doesn't know where you are geographically.
If you have an intruder, press 1. Is the intruder still in your house? Press 1. Is the intruder
armed?
Press 2. Hello, this 911 service. This Peggy. Happy time.
Yes.
That's the kind of nightmare I have going through a third party. You touched on this earlier about data and security and who do you actually trust. So as the cloud becomes more popular, who do you trust? It's my data. So if it gets leaked out, or like Nine Inch Nails putting out songs on a USB flash drive and giving those away, then getting pissed off that those same files were on a torrent site within minutes.
I'm still not sure it was Nine Inch Nails. That was about 2-3 years ago. Well, but I mean, it was some major touring band. That was the point.
Well, and the same
and they seeded it intentionally, right?
I get soundtracks to a lot of mainstream movies before the soundtrack is released on a CD that 90% of the time is pressed by the composer. So the track won't have the name of the compilation. It will say track 1 created with GarageBand or track 1 created with Audacity or whatever. I had to sign a non-disclosure with the PR firm that's sending me this stuff, and I get a letter that said one of our pre-release, and it happened to be for the Iron Man 2 soundtrack, had been found on a file sharing site. That's all they said, a file sharing site. The scary thing was the MP3s that I have on these CDs have a digital fingerprint. So the person that distributed it
is going to get busted.
Got in a lot of trouble because there is a fingerprint that was inside several of the MP3s, so they knew exactly who it came from. So these were not bulk pressed. It was like, oh, the CD that Jeff got, that has something in the MP3 itself to identify that copy came from Jeff.
Well, I think maybe we ought to stop rambling on getting busted and keep rambling about doing it the right way. Because, again, we are all pod safe, Creative Commons, and legal here at Indie Nation. If they are not specifically Creative Commons licensed, we obtain permission from each and every artist we play on the stream. And furthermore, each and every artist that is on the bot is aware they are on the bot. They are happy they are on the bot. They are thankful they are on the bot. And they want to be on the bot. And we also have great artists out there like Jamie Gray, who's stalking me on Twitter right now, tweeting back and forth, who I know is thankful we play his music and always grateful we play his music. And when he hears us playing his music, he promises to send us more. So you see, there's a lot of artists that get it out there, and that's what we're going to stick with. Jeff, I'm glad you're done eating, because I just found a story. I didn't even get to watch the video yet, but it's pretty fascinating.
Fascinating. That's an interesting word.
Fascinating. And it involves, well, I'm putting the link. Speaking of contact information, geekshedirc.net. You can find us in Pound Cletta, Pound Jeff, Pound Lumpy's Corner, and, of course, Pound Indie Nation. We also sit in Pound Chris very often, Chris Perillo, you know, the famous geek. But take a look in Pound Indie Nation and look at this link from Boing Boing, and I will just quote the article, or Steve can read it if you want.
Well, it's a clock that is powered by dead flies. And this prototype clock, which is designed by James Auger and Jimmy Liuzzo, is powered by dead flies. A conveyor of fly paper catches the insects and then drops them into a microbial fuel cell where they become the feedstock for bacteria to consume. And as the bacteria munch on the dead flies or most any organic matter, the chemical energy is converted to electrical energy. The same technology powers the sewage-eating robot that was posted last year and also appears in the video, which is on this website here. Where are we at here?
It's boingboing.net.
That's what I wanted to hear. Boing, boing. I just wanted to hear you
boing,
say
boing.
Boing. I just wanted to hear you say boing, boing. Boing. So, yeah, boing. I know. But yes, it's great stuff, though. I mean,
yeah, we're talking dead flies on
here
right
now. We're in the age
now.
Where nothing goes to waste, folks. Not even the waste.
He says it's the same technology that powers a sewer-eating robot that he talked about a year ago. And I'm not gonna bore the listeners with that right now because we got more music in the queue. Up next is some Jamie Gray, and we'll get on to that again. But, yeah, again, if you want to call us, suggest an artist, maybe request somebody from our artist page, that's 818-81-INDIE. We are at Indie Nation FM on Twitter. I am at Lumpy. Steve is at, on Twitter?
Seventh Star.
Spelled out.
SevenThStar.
And Jeff is?
At Jeff Norris. And I'm looking at what you posted. Did you notice how Boing Boing truncated the URL? Block powered by DEA.html.
they truncate all their links. I don't know, maybe it's a certain number of characters, but I've noticed that before. Boingboing.net, though, is like one of my favorite sources.
Yeah, so the Drug Enforcement Agency isn't powering clocks, but dead fly poop is. Wait, that is the DEA.
Oh, he really worked to set that one up, and we didn't see it coming. That was bad. Hey, I also wanted to mention somebody else out there. A little shout-out for her. We said something before, but I think I could sum it up if I just said, brains! And that would be our zombie girl writer over there at Indie Nation, who's also known as Cletta over on Geek Shed. But you can find her on Twitter at Cletta, C-L-E-T-A-E is her Twitter ID, and she's really an awesome person and very into indie music. And Cletta, we got something up after Jamie Gray you're gonna love. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-
Garage, who we're going to be playing later on.
Yeah, this one's not a concept album. But
but the band, the name comes right from the concept album. And I've been making a small little list here of concept records I just thought were awesome over the time. Bloody Kisses by Typo Negative, that's one of them. Another one is Abigail by King Diamond. There's another band called Tiamat from Sweden. They did one called A Deeper Kind of Slumber, which is a really nice ambient. If you liked Lestat, check out A Deeper Kind of Slumber by Tiamat. Anyway, we'll carry on.
Hey, we've got some Jamie Gray up next, and Gray is spelled G-R-A-Y. Don't make the mistake I did the first time trying to send him a tweet. It's not G-R-E-Y. It's spelled the other way. I don't know why the Brits and the Americans can't agree on colors. No pun intended. Just caught that as I was talking. And then we're going to let it roll on a bit longer. We're going to go right into some more what we call AOR, something you don't hear very much. It's album-oriented rock. We're going to play Joe's Garage, their title album, is Lost in Overdale. I know Coletta listening in chat is just going to love it because it's one of her favorites, I think. And I think we don't really have much else to say, so we shall drift on off to, like I said, some Jamie Gray and some Joe's Garage. Lumpy and Steve and Jeff will be back with you in a minute and tell you where to find them. Thanks for listening.
There's a vision gone last, staring blindly through the glass. Now you're never gonna take even my tiniest mistake. Just the fact that we can't smile, I keep holding on to you all the while. Till now we can see what I can't feel. Bye. down on the night. Moon is copper in its gentle light. Fire's burning on the ground. Still is bound. It's gonna make a sound. Shut your eyes and fly, fly, fly. Hush, whisper softly. Goodbye.
Speed ahead, running from the demons with my eyes all red.
like a dewdrop in the sunshine, float into the atmosphere, heated by the passion of the day. Drifting higher and higher, cooling on the winds of fear, until there's nothing left to say. Now turn my eyes too heavy for the air to hold. Falling, we go falling through the dark. Melting on the way back down, splashing as we hit the ground. Born to crash it in a lightning spark. This time you me, next time wait and see. Round and round we spiral through the pain. Round and round and round and round again. Should we take this time? Should we throw down to the sea? Or should we try to reach the heavens while we can? Drawn with mighty river currents, we sink into the earthen roots. Try to choose now, try to understand. It's always right as rain. The circle starts again. This time you need, next time wait and see. Round and round we spiral through the pain. Drop in the sunshine, float into the atmosphere. Here we are again now anyway. Drifting higher and higher, flying on the wheels of change now. Wishing we could both just float away.
Director Jeff Norris, Tint Lumpy, the cyber junkie, most likely rambling aimlessly and screwing everything up. special thanks from IndieNation.fm to Gavin Salkeld of SalkeldMusic.com for providing the background music to it. Please make them sound somewhat professional. Thank you for listening. Better luck next week.
Indie Nation, filtering the bad stuff, seeking and finding the good stuff for your listening pleasure.